Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about Egypt uprising and the story behind the story, and we talked about how the Muslim Brotherhood has been disempowered in Egypt. The leader was arrested. Morsi is still being detained. They're in major transition, and the Muslim Brotherhood is out. But I want you to listen to a segment, because yesterday we talked about how Michelle Bachmann, Congresswoman, right now in our country, she was reporting and sharing about how the Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated areas of our government. And the Secretary of State, at that time, Hillary Clinton, her assistant, Uma, didn't even need security clearance to get that position.
Right.
Michelle Bachmann's like, hello? Yeah. Like, does anybody not hear? They don't want to know about this? What's the deal here? You know? Mm-hmm. Her, Uma, which again was Secretary of State Clinton's, at the time, Secretary, you know, Kerry now, John Kerry, her mother was part of the sisterhood, the Muslim Brotherhood sisterhood, the ladies division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And her father, who's now deceased, was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Morsi, who was the president of Egypt just a few days ago, let me tell you something. It's kind of encouraging that within a day, you know, these people can be removed, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in office for about a year, and he was a Muslim Brotherhood, you know, backed candidate. He is with the Muslim Brotherhood. But he joined the Muslim Brotherhood, not in Egypt, not in Iran, not in Iraq, not in Syria, not in Lebanon, but he joined the Muslim Brotherhood in college in California, where he was learning and training. I mean,
oh my goodness.
It's in America. Mm-hmm. And you can understand that we talked about their creed. We talked about their creed, and if you miss it, you want to go to Muslim Brotherhood 101. But their creed basically is dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. Dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. I want you to listen to this segment on CBN as they report the rise that America is ripe for the Muslim Brotherhood agenda. I want you to listen up.
The Muslim Brotherhood is a well-known and powerful force throughout the Islamic world. In recent years, it's turned its attention to America and communities here that are ripe for its radical agenda. Eric Stackelback recently sat down with two American Muslims familiar with the Brotherhood's tactics inside the United States.
Dr. Ahmed Mansour watched for years as the Muslim Brotherhood slowly laid the groundwork to seize power in his home country of Egypt. Now living in America, he worries that the Brotherhood will follow a similar playbook here.
They are, you know, working the American community here to make it as fifth column. They wanted to take over any place they are in.
Mansour taught at Cairo's famed Al-Azhar University, where he saw the Muslim Brotherhood's ideology up close.
They believe that the world is divided into two camps. The camp of the of believers, that's their camp, and the camp of disbeliever of the camp of war. And they have the religious duty to war the another camp.
Mansour founded the Quranist movement to present a more moderate interpretation of Islam. Over the years, it led to his imprisonment and harassment in Egypt. He was finally forced to leave the country in 2001 after speaking out against the likes of the Brotherhood.
Talk about the Muslim Brotherhood's tactics, their deception, and why they are so dangerous.
They are very cunning. They usually use two faces. They have two discourses. Discourse among them, against all the people. And discourse is a very beautiful discourse for all the non-Muslim brothers.
CBN News recently sat down with another concerned Muslim who says followers of the Muslim Brotherhood have taken over mosques in the Boston area. We've disguised his face and voice for his safety.
They want to go after the young minds. And the way they go after the young minds is either they start scholarships in high schools, they bring them to a certain level of obedience It is called Tarbiyah. They have classes for them and so on.
He says once you're a Muslim brother, you're in for life.
When some young chap is ready to take the oath, he is given an oath so that he will never leave the organization and they will do anything.
He says the Brotherhood also operates on Boston area college campuses. Dr. Mansour, for one, is not surprised. He was shocked when he arrived in America and found that radicals controlled many of the mosques he visited, even in the Washington, D.C. area.
I escaped from them in Egypt and found them here. So I said to myself, oh, where can I go? To go to the moon?
The Brotherhood's influence reportedly stretches beyond the local level. There have been reports in Egyptian media that Muslim Brotherhood operatives have influence in the Obama administration when it comes to counterterrorism and Mideast policymaking. As for Dr. Mansour, he says he can't get any backing from U.S. government agencies for his anti-jihad message. Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News, Washington.
Wow. Just heard from Dr. Mansour. And he's actually, he's from the International Quranic Center, and he's actually talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and what their agenda is and what they're all about and how they have roots established here in the United States. You gotta understand that this is their creed. This is what they believe. And this was found in the Muslim Brotherhood 101, and you can find this on the Torch. But Allah is objective. The Prophet is our leader. Quran is our law. Jihad is our goal. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. Mm. Now you got to understand that they're in the United States.
Yeah,
they're in the United States. And he says that they're broken down into two camps, two ideologies, two ways of thinking, the way they view the world. And this is Dr. Mansour talking about this. I shared on via CBN. But he says that there's a camp of believers and then the camp of disbelievers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the camp of disbelievers, they feel an obligation to war against mm-hmm. them. So they want to come and take over.
Mm-hmm.
You can understand that there is a radical Islam that wants to take over in the United States and they want to institute Sharia. They tried doing this. They tried doing this in Egypt. And what we found out is that the Egyptian people were not going to have it. The Egyptian people said, listen, We're not going to have you guys over us.
Right.
And they've been dispelled from they're being rounded up. I mean, literally, as we speak, Muslim Brotherhood are being captured and killed as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really, really serious thing. And it's heartening to see what's happening in the country. And what's further disheartening is to find out that this gentleman who he's coming to the mosque in the United States. And he's absolutely shocked and surprised to find out that they're being run by radicals.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And that they're infiltrated even in the White House. Listen, we need to be alert. We need to be aware of what's going on. But kind of in conjunction with this, you say, well, is this really happening? Is this, you know, are the Muslims really, radical Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood really in the United States? I mean, this is just, you know, Dr. Mansour, and are you sure you're not, you know, stretching here? Well, let's just look at the Atlantic or the Washington Post. They're just reporting
mm-hmm.
that in North Carolina, North Carolina, not New York, not New Jersey, not Detroit, not Chicago, large urban areas. But in North Carolina, the state, they're looking at this really unique bill, which basically, it's an anti-Sharia bill. It's an anti-Sharia bill. Sharia
wow.
is the law, Quran the law. And they're basically saying that any law that comes against the Constitution, you know what I'm saying? Hello, we're not going to support that. We're mm-hmm. not going to have that in this country. The only law here is the Constitution, no mm-hmm. other law. Well, they actually felt in North Carolina that they actually needed to put a law on the books. One of these type of laws already exists in Oklahoma. But they in North Carolina, this state felt that they actually had to do that. And in with this bill, they actually adopted and put in it an abortion restriction in it as well. I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
It started out as an anti-Sharia bill. It's mm-hmm. called, I'm trying to get the name for you, it's called the Family Faith, Family Faith and Freedom Protection Act. It's the Family Faith and Freedom Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, think about that. Family, I'm sure talking about, you know, the part of the sanctity of life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And freedom. And freedom. This is what, before we, I want to share with you that this, basically the first part is that it makes certain that no foreign law, like Sharia law, is applied in any family court action in North Carolina. Okay? That's the first part of this law. Pretty, you know, impressive. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, the other part has to do with the abortion part. Basically, there's about six parts to this, but basically it's a conscious protection for healthcare workers who don't want to do anything that might lead to an abortion. So it has provision for that. The second thing that it limits, has limits on abortion funding. The third thing is that it has prohibitions on sex selective abortions. I mean, can you imagine? That's what's happening in China.
Yeah, right,
if you're
right.
Having a certain child, they know what it is. We're going to
get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Number four, a provision requiring that doctors to be physically present for the full procedure whenever a chemical or surgical abortion is performed. I mean, hello, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, right.
Mandates, number five, abortion clinics have standards as high as surgical ambulatory centers. And remember that, you know, Gosnell, he was the abortionist who was convicted and sentenced to life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For three botched abortion murders and manslaughter on one of his patients. His clinic was called the House of Horror.
Right.
I mean, his clinic, they say, was just, I mean, unsanitary. And it wasn't a place where anyone should be, much less someone who's having a surgery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so these provisions are important. But the last part says that it mandates that the abortion clinics have standards as high as surgical ambulatory centers. My understanding is that what this bill is going to do is basically, it's actually was voted in the Senate. It goes to the House today, Tuesday. So you want to be in prayer over all of it. But you're looking at Wisconsin. You're looking at Florida. You're looking at Ohio, Texas, and now, my goodness, North Carolina. And my understanding that Arkansas already has a law in the books in Mississippi. I believe there's nine other states
right.
That don't have abortion restriction laws. We got talking about abortion, but let me tell you something. This law was in connection with this whole Sharia law. It's important what's happening in our nation. We're seeing a major turn in our nation. And it's important that we stay vigilant. It's important that we stay prayerful. And it's important that we stay informed, but it's so, so powerful what's happening. Let me tell you something. The Constitution is the law of the land. The law of the land. And if anyone wants to come to this country, they need to abide by the Constitution. There's a big debate right now over immigration, and the Senate just passed a bill, and it's the House still needs to come up with. There's just huge, huge debate right now. And it's important because, you know, we want to may have a pathway where people can become citizens and come to this part of this great country. But at the same time, we want folks to come here to this country, not to steal the country away,
mm-hmm.
not to change the country. If you're coming right. here, it's because you want to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming here, you want to come to a land that's been blessed, that has affords people the opportunity to work and earn a living
yeah.
and start a business. So many people in America take that for granted, that they don't understand that the Constitution and how the country is right now, it creates an environment, a blessed place where people can be prosperous. You can't do that in any other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you can do it in countries, but mm-hmm. there's not every place in the world has this type of freedom or this environment.
Mm-hmm.
You can go out and try to start, you know, a lot of businesses in the third world countries, and it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Or a dictatorship or something like that's just not going to happen because the state owns everything.
Exactly.
And we're blessed. We don't want to see folks come to the United States and steal the country away.
Right.
and not want to honor this Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. If we're not careful, if we're not humble, if we're not dependent upon the Lord and we don't turn our hearts, believers, Christians, don't turn our hearts back to God, never say never.
That's right.
Never say never. You know, it was, President Ronald Reagan said that freedom is only one generation away.
That's right.
And so it's important that we stay low and stay absolutely dependent towards God, and that we stop focusing on God bless America, but we start focusing on America and especially the church blessing God.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.